40. Principles of Reckoning. The purpose of this section, entitled The Green Letters, was to set forth the truths of identification, as well as some of the basic principles by which God brings us into their reality. As a sequel to the letters, this study deals with the essential principles having to do with our reckoning on the identification truths. It's an attempt to answer the questions, how do I reckon? To facilitate our understanding of the subject, we will define at the outset the three basic elements of the reckoning that counts. First, we look at principles. According to Webster, a principle is the law of nature, or the method by which a thing operates. The how of reckoning is based on principles. Our Father works according to his spiritual principles to fulfill his purpose in our lives. For example, he brings us into the reality of our identification on the basis of the principle of knowledge, that is, know the scriptural truths. The principle of faith, that is, reckon on the truths that you know. And the principle of time, that is, yield to his lifelong processing for growth in the truths that are known and reckoned on. So we look at identification with Christ. The truths of identification are those facts in the Word of God that reveal our identification with Christ in his death to sin and our subsequent recreation in his resurrection. As foreknown believers, our Father judicially placed us in his Son on the cross, so that we died in him to sin and are now alive in him to God. So we look at reckon. The word to regard as being or to count as true is what the word reckon means. Romans 6:11 calls us to count upon the truths of our identification with Christ. Consider yourself to be dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. Reckon yourselves to be dead to sin, but alive to Christ Jesus. We count on the truth that is made known to us. We exercise faith by resting on that fact. It may be helpful to observe that there is a pattern throughout our spiritual development, whether we realize it or not. We began to reckon at the very beginning of our Christian life. As lost sinners, we were convicted of our need and shown in the Word of God that the Saviour died on the cross to redeem us. By his grace, we reckoned on the truth, and we received him as our own personal Saviour. With hearts full of love and zeal, we became active for the Lord as the new life began to emerge. All went well for a time, possibly for several years. Then, imperceptibly, a deadly declension set in. We had been so busy enjoying the new experience and activities that we inadvertently began to neglect the source of the true life and service, both the written and the living Word of God. Well, the inevitable result was the reassertion of the enslaving influence of sin, self, law, and the world. Almost before we realized it, we were defeated, heartsick, and wretched. Finally, after years of failure in both life and service, we were prepared to see something of the wonderful truths concerning our identification with the Lord Jesus Christ in his death and resurrection. We saw that he not only freed us from the guilt and penalty of sin, but also from the power and domination of the principle of sin. Here we see the pattern of the experience of babes in Christ. We believed, we struggled, we failed. Now, what of the pattern of our adulthood when we come to the place of reckoning on the identification truths? Just as in our counting on the justification truths for the initial steps of birth and babyhood, so in our reckoning on the identification truths for growth. We start immediately to work for the Lord in testifying of our new experience. We want everyone to know of our new joy and freedom through reckoning. Not only do we seek out opportunities to share and to teach these new-to-us truths, but where necessary, we make openings. We are surprised to discover that few, if any, fellow believers prove to be receptive. As a matter of fact, many become quite antagonistic, and some even accuse us of falling into error. There are times when we limp home not quite as sure or enthusiastic about it as we were when we started. Then, too, we begin to grow careless about our reckoning. We forget about the liberating truths for longer and longer periods of time. Once again, we are relying more on our experience than we are on the source, that is, on the risen Christ, and the means, that is reckoning, of receiving his abundant life. And what is the sure result of concentrating on experience rather than truth? Well, the answer is defeat. Thus the pattern is completed. Our failure in the identification realm parallels our failure in the earlier justification phase. At just this point, many believers begin to waver in their hope and expectation of freedom from the old life and abundant growth in the new. Their confidence in the truths of identification begin to wane. How many defeated Christians have bitterly exclaimed, "I tried Romans 6, but reckoning didn't work for me." Most discouraged people turn back to the futile struggles of Romans chapter 7 as a result of this seeming failure. Some even follow the alluring experience-centred errors of the so-called holiness groups. But whatever it may be, all outside the realm of the Spirit-taught and Spirit-ministered identification truths results in compounded failure and bondage. Galatians 3 verse 3 says this, "Having begun in the Spirit, are you now made perfect or mature in the flesh?" Patterns spring from principles. There is a definite and essential principle underlying this pattern of seeing the truth, reckoning on it, experiencing the good of it for a time, and then failure. Therefore, take heart, fellow believer, for our Father is ever working according to his principles and his patterns and purposes for us. When the Holy Spirit brings us to a new and higher plateau of truth in the process of our growth, we see, we reckon on, we appropriate that which we understand. But the important thing to remember is that this is only the beginning of a new spiritual plane. At the outset of our reckoning on the identification truths, all is exciting and wonderful. And we are given a taste of the reality of these facts that we are counting on. However, tasting is not eating. This initial experience is but a token of all that lies ahead in the long, slow, growing process. Our early enthusiasm makes it all seem clear and simple, but there are infinite depths and heights in every realm of truth into which he intends to bring us and to establish us. This will require both time and eternity. Hence, the Holy Spirit allows us to fall after our eager beginning. He applies the principle of need in every phase of our advance. The calculated failure is used to cause us to move beyond the early infant enthusiasm to the place where we have to dig in and settle down on the explicit truth of the Word of God. Before we can grow in any aspect of truth, we must be established in the knowledge of that truth. In every area of our spiritual development, it is one thing to begin on a new plateau, but it is quite another thing, through faith and patience, to inherit the promises. Hebrews 6 verse 12. Our immaturity was understandable during the milk of the gospel stage of our Christian life, but now it is time to face up to adulthood. We have partaken of the meat of identification, and we read in Hebrews 5:14 that strong meat belongeth to them that are full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. In our need and desperation, we grasp a truth, but our initial knowledge is insufficient to enable us to persevere in it. To cause the truth to take hold of us and become a living part of our life, the Holy Spirit removes the token experience from us. But the knowledge of the truth is retained. By this means we are to be established in the truth, that we might grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ. 2 Peter 3:18. The first taste of identification awakens our heart hunger for its practical fulfilment. Philippians 3 verse 12 says this, I follow after, if that I might apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. It will help us to bear in mind that the principle of time underlies all of God's dealings with us. Growth takes time. The God of all grace, who hath called us unto his everlasting glory in Christ Jesus, after that you have suffered a little while, make you perfect, mature, establish, strengthen, and settle you. 1 Peter 5, verse 10.